The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation was created in 2011 out of the old Commerce Department. It was created to work on economic development and job creation and to help companies expand here and help companies locate here. Reed Hall was the second CEO of WEDC, joining it in October of 2012. And now, this Friday, September 25th, will be his last day. Reed, thanks very much for coming in to talk to Wisconsin Eye.
It's my pleasure. We did this when I started in the organization,
sir.
So it's an appropriate bookend for me to chat with you at this time also.
It really is. You were a successful CEO of Marshfield Clinic.
Executive director.
Thank you for the correction. You had retired.
Yes.
And you must have got a call. Come and consider being CEO of this brand new organization and the second CEO. So why did you say yes?
Well, the call came in, would I take an interim assignment?
In your press release, you said 3 months.
Yeah, right. It was for 3 months while they did a national search. So how can you turn down the governor of the state of Wisconsin when he needs an interim appointment for 3 months for something that I believe in, which is economic development? So I was pleased to take that interim. I was honored to take that interim. And as things worked out, the governor asked me to stay on after they did their national search. And I was pleased to stay on. But you know, it's been 3 years now as opposed to 3 months. And it just seems like this is the appropriate time to re-enter the retirement ranks.
You have led what has been probably the most embattled state agency in your almost 3 years. I want to refer one of the responses to your announcement that you were retiring on this Friday came from Peter Barca, who said you were a successful healthcare executive, but you didn't know much about economic development. Can you respond to Peter's comment?
Well, I think that Peter and I should just agree to disagree on that. We grew the Marshfield Clinic a great deal. We grew from 145 physicians to just under 800 physicians. With that, we developed just under 60 regional clinics, substantial economic growth with the jobs that we created throughout central and northern Wisconsin. That's economic development also. True, I was not a trained economic development professional in the sense that I'd worked in the Chamber of Commerce or local or regional economic development association, but what we did at Marshfield is what happens across the entire state as far as moving the state forward. Private businesses create jobs in Wisconsin, a great number more than what the government does.
You were successful in building, as you said, Marshfield Clinic. What did you learn about coming down and taking a look at economic development from an entire statewide perspective, Reed?
Well, I think when I came in, there was a cloud over the organization. There were some LAB reports about not tracking loans adequately. So one of the first things we had to do to really understand economic development in the state was to regain our credibility. And I think we did that. We have done that. We're poised to do even greater things in the future. But I learned partnerships are critical in economic development. The state Economic Development Association or corporation from West Washington Avenue does not create jobs. We help create businesses that create jobs. But the most important thing we do is partnerships, not only with the people that we contract with, but with the chambers and the local and regional economic development associations across the state of Wisconsin, and with businesses. That's how you create jobs. That's one thing I learned that I didn't know ahead of time, is that it takes a lot of partnerships to move this state forward.
In response to your announcement that you're going to retire, the Democrats have said you were not a successful CEO. How good were you? How effective were you?
I'm very pleased with what we've accomplished. We've added many jobs to the state of Wisconsin. We've encouraged many businesses to move to the state of Wisconsin. We have a very good reputation internationally. I witnessed the recent return last week from Japan and Taiwan visit. We're in a global economy, and I think we all must understand that the world population is shifting away from North America. By 2050, only 4.1% of the world population is going to reside in Canada, United States, and Mexico. 55% will be in Asia. The largest portion of the middle class growth is occurring outside the United States. So understanding that global economy, and I think we've been able to move Wisconsin forward through not only foreign direct investment, but expanding exports, which last year hit $23.4 billion. So I think we've been very successful. We're much more transparent at this time. WEC was still relatively new when I came in. It was a creature started from scratch in so many ways. Probably needed to have a more sincere accounting system established when it was set up in July of 2011. We needed a more sophisticated banking system set up. We've done that. And those are successes, and I'm proud of that. And look at the jobs we've created. Not as many as we want to, but so much of economic development is beyond just job creation. It's creating an environment that businesses and communities want to grow. Having thriving communities, vibrant communities, encourages businesses to stay in those communities. And just as importantly, young people to stay in those communities, be the future workforce.
Were some of the most troublesome loans that were highlighted in the audits, the building committee loans or grant, for example, were all of the most troublesome loans made prior to you taking over in October of 2012, sir?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. They were done almost exclusively in the first 15 months of operation, July to maybe September of 12.
Why did the wheels fall off on those loans? Because I've gone through, the Capitol Press Corps has gone through hundreds of pages of documents, and there wasn't the proper verification of the apps, and there wasn't some follow-up. Why were those pretty profound failures occurring in the first 2 years of WEDIC?
I'm not sure I have the complete answer yet. We've looked at it in several different ways, but I think it was probably, upon retrospective review, a mistake not to set up a formal banking system. And of course, we didn't inherit a formal banking system from Commerce. So it should have been created on July 1 if you're going to create this new venture. That didn't happen. Now, Paul Jaden consistently says that he reviewed those loans, but there were no formal underwriter reviews of many of those loans. Paul says he reviewed them all personally, and I believe that. But I think if you go from 300 staff people in Commerce down to 50 in WDC overnight, you lose some of the culture, some of the history, some of the procedures that are in people's minds. And it's like the oral contract. It's worthwhile. It should be written down, though. It mm-hmm. really should be. So I think that was part of the problem at that time. Our consultation with the Wisconsin Bankers Association early on in after I came in 12, I think helped out a great deal. Set the pattern for what you need to be a banking organization. And there's one more thing that needs to be done. I think we need a quality assurance department. And I've talked to Mark Hogan about that. It's not dissimilar to a normal banking function. You got to do a post-review audit concurrently, not retrospectively 6 months down the road. When you do a loan, when you do a tax credit, you got to make sure that there's zero defects in that documentation. And that's the next chapter that has to be written. And I know that Mark will put that in motion.
The early problems of the first 2 years, 2.5 years, the ones that were highlighted by the very critical audits, problems of mismanagement or political motivation. And the reason I ask about political motivation is the emails that I've seen, the secretary of the Department of Administration would call employees of your agency to ask about a specific loan or grant for building committee. Mismanagement or political motivations?
Perhaps a little bit of both. Just because a legislator or the governor calls or some other person of influence in the state of Wisconsin, you evaluate those things, but you don't make your decisions based on those calls. You make your decisions based upon sound underwriting, and here's the statute, here are the regulations that we administer through our policies and procedures. Is this consistent? But I think succumbing to political influence, and I'm not saying that that happened in this case, but that's always a mistake. But goes on in the world all the time. I mean, when I was on the bank board, we would receive calls about this loan is good, this guy's really good, but you got to go with the numbers, and sometimes you go with a little bit of instinct as far as how the community is growing and how this person fits in the community. But that's harder to do on a statewide basis than it is in a local community.
It's not proper channels for DOA Secretary Hipsch to call one of your third or fourth level executives in WEDIC, is it?
Not usually, no. One would think that.
Were you able to at any point tell Secretary Hipsch that his concern should go through you or your deputies?
Well, of course, that all happened before I came on board.
I'm sorry. Yes,
and,
you're right.
I haven't talked to Secretary Hipsch since he left for the Public Service Commission, so that's not a conversation that I had or needed to have because the matter was already over by the time not over, in the sense that the fallout is there. So I don't know what all the conversations were with Paul Jaden and other staff between Secretary Hipsch.
But you must have been surprised that the Secretary was calling employees of WEDIC to ask about the Building Committee app.
Upon reflection, yes, of course. But we do get calls from legislators from time to time also about, can you help out this, where people write me letters saying, this is a very good application for a community development award. And, you know, we don't make the decision based on those letters, certainly. We take them into consideration, but the award has to stand on its own merits. That's how we've administered the program, and I assume that's how it was done initially, but I honestly don't know because I wasn't there at that time. And one never knows what kind of telephone calls happen.
That's true. But in the wake of the Building Committee and the lobbying by the former Secretary of DOA, are there now firewalls in place at WEDC that would insulate any political influence over a specific grant or loan?
Well, I think we would still accept a call from another cabinet secretary or the governor or any member of the legislative body or anyone else around the state of Wisconsin. We get those letters of support. We were dealing with a matter up in Door County recently, and I got several letters, some supporting, some saying that this is not a good deal. We take that into the file, but we make the decision based on the facts, and I think that's what's going on at WEDC, and I know that's what's going to go on in the future. So I don't think there's undue political influence. Several members of the Joint Audit Committee have written me letters on projects within their district, and I acknowledge those letters. I try and acknowledge all letters that come in, but we don't make the decision based upon those letters of reference or encouragement. We make it based upon, does this project meet the guidelines that we have, and do we have a budget for this project?
You can look at the creation of WEDIC and how it was set up from the hindsight of 4 years. You can do some excellent Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yes.
So was it wise to put the governor on the WEDIC board?
Well, I think it was wise at that time. As it turned out, as history has unfolded, I think that it became too political. And that's one of the things that surprised me. I took this position as a public service position as I said before, at the more mature end of my professional career, starting as a Senate page when I was in college and ending as Secretary of Economic Development. That sounds like a great public service mission to me.
Yes.
But the politics soon took over. And one saw that during my tenure. It's a very political organization. It's not just public service that is involved with this job. I hope it's more public service and true economic development going forward.
So it was wise to remove the governor from the WEDIC board?
I think he made the right decision asking to step down, yes.
What about the role of lawmakers? There's a debate over whether legislators should be on the board, and Senator Lassa and Representative Barca have been critical of mismanagement. They've also been critical of you. Should legislators stay on the board, sir?
I've often thought, and I still think today, that legislators have a valued role on the board. It's important that the legislators remember their fiduciary duty to the organization and not just the political position that they're in. Because if you're on a board of directors, you have a fiduciary duty to that board. We all understand that. Bank boards, we all understand what the duty is. And I think when you move from a position of authority in the legislature over to a corporate board like WEDC, you have to remember the duty you have to the organization. And you have a duty to your caucus, etc. But you have a duty to the corporation under the laws of the state of Wisconsin.
Were you unfairly criticized for partisan reasons by Representative Barca and Senator Lassa?
That's their opinion. I don't share that opinion. I think we've done a great job. So usually in a situation like that, I just say, let's agree to disagree. And Secretary Mel Laird, former Secretary of Defense, told me a long, long time ago that the higher you get up the flagpole, the more your butt's exposed. And, you know, that's just part of...
Was he right?
He was. I learned that a long time ago at the Marshfield Clinic. But it's true here, too. And, you know, that's just part of the theater that we're in sometimes.
The criticism from Representative Barkin and Senator Lossett went so far as to say, we are board members. We're not being given access to information. We have to rely on the open records law to obtain information from an agency when we're board members. I just want to give you a chance to respond to that.
Well, I think that's their opinion. I think we've been very cooperative with them. We've shared hundreds, thousands of pages of documents. I also know that there's been some breaches of confidentiality that as CEO of the organization, we have to be very careful about. It's just like any other bank. You have to protect that confidence of people that are dealing with you and sharing their financial data. But unfortunately, in this environment, that's not always the case. So, you know, you have to balance those things. So any records that a legislator wants, we fully comply with as soon as possible in our open record request.
But you believe that there is a role for legislators of both parties on the WEDIC board, correct?
I do. You know, I'm fine if the legislature decides that they're to be removed. I'm fine with that. All I ask is that they remember their fiduciary obligation to the corporation.
There's also a concept of whether awards should be made to companies directly, or there should be another set of incentives more broadly and not targeted to specific companies. Your philosophy on that?
Well, I think we have a balance of both programs. I think I have personally believed that it's necessary to have not only tax credits, but a portion of your portfolio being loans, too. Appling Coated is a good example of a loan that we participated in with the bank, or with the major bank involved with the company. We complemented that, allowed the deal to go forward, and we probably saved 550 jobs with that. That's an important part of economic development, is retaining jobs. A good part of what we do is try and retain businesses in the state of Wisconsin. And I don't want to compete with banks, certainly, but I think there are times when a company needs a little extra nourishment to complement what the banks are doing. And as the economy continues to improve, and I think we're seeing that banks are more willing to loan now, and companies can deal with their normal banking relationship as opposed to dealing with us. It's a lot easier to deal with a bank. All you have to do is pay your principal and interest back. With us, you have a lot of reports to do. Payroll reports, tax credit reports, whatever. Plus you pay your principal and interest back. So if I were a company out there, I would prefer to deal with the bank because all I got to deal with is my principal and interest.
You're almost 3 years as CEO. What do you consider your biggest success story from a specific business standpoint? The one award or the one help or stimulus that helped either bring the most new jobs or keep jobs?
I think the Amazon transaction in Kenosha County is probably the thing that comes to mind first. It's a very major transaction. They're building 1.5 million square feet of space down there for their distribution center, adding hundreds of jobs, millions of dollars in investment that helps the local economy with real estate taxes. We were competing aggressively with 12 other states for that award. And I mean, when you're dealing with that, you have to have a full arsenal of tools available to attract this company. But more importantly there, and one of the reasons I'm so pleased with that award, is we dealt very closely with our partners in Kenosha County, not only the city, but Kenosha County, CABA down there. They did a certain amount of tax credits. We did a certain amount of tax credits that can be earned with investment and growth. And then in return, the dividend is that the first year, the state of Wisconsin gained $30 million in sales tax revenue from this company that moved into Wisconsin as opposed to one of the other 11 states that they were looking at. Same thing with Dollar General in Janesville, which was just announced.
Yes, just announced last week.
There were three states competing very aggressively for the final award. Many more states were whittled down, but three, and Wisconsin won. Again, a great partnership between Janesville, and WDC. And that's economic development.
The other side of that question is, what do you consider in your 3 years your biggest disappointment?
probably still having an LAB audit that covers many of the early months before I came on that is quoted time and time and time again. It's what people concentrate on, that early history that we're corrected, has been corrected, but I think that's probably my biggest disappointment is that overshadows all the really good work that our staff are doing. And we have a great staff on economic development, good people.
You must have been surprised at some of the findings in the LAB audits, Reed, weren't you?
Of course.
What was the biggest surprise? I didn't know what.
Well, that's a difficult question, Steve. My biggest concern, I guess, was that some of the issues that they had raised before were still issues with LAB. But here's an example of some of the frustrations we have. We worked with our board of directors extensively to come up with a reserve policy. We used generally acceptable best counting procedures to come up with those reserves. LAB comes in and says, that's too generous. No citations. They just say that's too generous. Okay, we have to change. Now, from a private business standpoint, you keep reserves so you can grow your equipment and whatever in the future. So that concerned me, that we don't always follow best generally acceptable accounting procedures. One of the things I'm pleased with is our independent financial audit, no substantial or material violations, and we've received 2 years in a row the National Award for Quality Excellence in Accounting. So that's one of the things that I think is very successful in our operation. The LAB report hardly mentioned that. I mean, there's been great progress made in our financial division, and I think Brandon Duck, our new Chief Financial Officer, will take the organization even further.
Does WEDC have the staff to do the due diligence that the audit showed was not being done when the financial records of those applying for awards are not being back-checked? That's been fixed, right?
Yeah. I think we have the staff to do that. What we don't have the staff to do, if that's going to be required of us, is we get payroll data. They send it in, they attest to it, just like you file your income tax return, you attest to that being true. Mm-hmm. It's suggested that we really need to send people into the plant to count. Not only the payroll, see the payroll there, but the count heads. It takes a lot more people to do that. Now, when you and I file our income tax return, I think the IRS assumes that we're being honest. And that's how I approach life. I know we're dealing with taxpayer money here, and we probably have a little more due diligence that's required. But I think it's better to invest in economic development programs rather than building quality assurance compliance department administrative staff.
At the last audit committee meeting, which is last week, you were in Eau Claire with the governor announcing some good news. Yeah. But your chief deputies were really criticized by Senator Buley, Senator Vineout, et cetera, for failure to verify the number of jobs created. That goes back to the problem that you just spoke about,
exactly.
Right?
Right.
WEDC doesn't have the people to do a head count on a specific, at a specific company, correct?
That's correct, not at this time. Now, if we add those staff, we will send those people into the plants to do that. There comes a time where you do so much checking that companies don't want to deal with you anymore. Because basically what you're saying is, I don't trust your CEO's numbers. I don't trust the verification that has come in annually with the payroll data that's being submitted. Now, we have an extra duty because we're dealing with taxpayer money. So hopefully we can find some balance there. I think we need to look at that.
At the management level, WEDC was plagued by half extensive turnover of senior staff. Why?
Well, I think that's
because you don't have consistency of management when you have that much turnover. Excuse me for interrupting you.
But remember, we went from 300 staff down to 50. So, and some people in our organization had, as former Commerce employees, had a 5-year window to go back to state employment and get their state benefits back. We don't have state benefits, all the state benefits. We have good benefits, but we don't have all the sick leave and things like that. So some people, good people, have been exercising that five-year window to go back into other state employment so they can get this standard state benefits. I also think that the consistent criticism of our organization does hurt morale, and that's why I think our board is so critical to play a positive role, not to be blind to what's going on there, but to be supportive in any way possible. I also think that we've been very fortunate to retain a lot of good quality people. And when we go out for interviews of new positions, we've been very impressed with the depth of the quality of people applying to our organization. So one of the things that we've had to do is not only recruit, but retain good people in our organization. Because you build up that history, and losing 250 people out of 300 takes a lot of history with you on July 1 of 2011. So we've been building that back. We have around 100 staff working with us now. And I think we have a very good team.
In 2010, when the governor campaigned and won his first term, he made a campaign promise over 4 years to create 250,000 private sector jobs.
Right.
Did you feel political pressure to help the governor hit that goal, Reed?
I happened to be in the audience when the governor made that pledge back in, was that 2010?
Yes, when he ran for office.
Yeah, and I was surprised by that. I thought that was an aggressive goal. But I didn't really feel political pressure to help reach that goal. I mean, as I've said before, if you wanted to create jobs, you create them by the government and put them on the government workforce payroll. This is private staff, private employees. To do that, and for us to be successful there, we need to create an environment in the state of Wisconsin that's conducive to businesses adding jobs. Right now, 91% of businesses feel that Wisconsin's heading in the right direction. I think ultimately that translates to more hiring, but we also have to understand that we went through quite a global turndown, and it's been a slow process coming out, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country.
Was the global turndown the biggest reason that we didn't create those 250,000 jobs? Because you've heard the governor say in some of his political speeches that the turmoil over Act 10 didn't give company CEOs confidence about the future of Wisconsin. Which was the greatest factor?
I think the governor's correct on that. We talked to a lot of companies after things settled down in the Capitol that would not even look at Wisconsin. Another thing is,
as a result of the controversies,
right,
over Act 10,
yeah,
100,000 protesters on your lawn
across the country. I'm up in Marshfield, and what do I see about Madison? But what's going on there across the whole country? So that's not a good image for business development in the state of Wisconsin, certainly not at all. I think we were losing a lot of opportunities. Site selectors would not even look at Wisconsin. You filtered out from the screens if you don't have right to work, especially when Michigan and Indiana have that right. So I think that's going to translate to more job opportunities too. Site selectors are looking at Wisconsin, and with our certified site program around 14 sites now, I think those projects are growing. And in fact, the Janesville project, Dollar General, is at a certified site. So the investments we've made in the state of Wisconsin, I think, are paying dividends going forward and
Did our new right to work law play a role in that company selecting Janesville, do you think?
I never asked the company that question when I met with them, but I do know that the site selectors that I trust told me in the past that 70% of the opportunities available that they review are discarded when they're for Wisconsin without right to work. So right away, you know, the screens are filtering out Wisconsin without that act. So the combination of Act 10 and the disarray in the state capitol, I think that hurt. It's hard to grow jobs when, you know, the national news, international news is showing this event going on at the capitol.
Did you feel political pressure when the governor was running for president to create jobs?
Not any more than before. We're all of the mission to try and create jobs. That's part of expanding the economy. But the governor never said, you must create jobs for my presidential election. Never occurred.
Last week, when he was asked about whether there should be a continued restructuring of WEDIC, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald said that the focus And the criticism had been at the management level, but using his term, there'd been local successes. And he is hearing from local officials that Weedick was a pretty effective partner.
Right.
Talk about the local successes. Is this working with some of the local community development arms that the senator was referring to?
Oh, I think so, exactly. Look at Janesville, look at Kenosha, good examples. Look at Milwaukee County. Look at here in Dane County, Exact Sciences. That's a project that we've supported very heavily, assuming the jobs are created. And I don't know that Dane County or MadRep has put any money into that transaction. I think most of the incentive comes from us and, of course, the city of Madison, not the regional. So I think it's very true.
How big can Epic get? I've only got a couple more questions.
I think, I don't know what the total number will be. They have a good percentage of the electronic medical records, not only in clinics, but hospitals around the United States. I think they're expanding very successfully internationally. So it's amazing how far they can grow.
Does Weedick do any work for Epic, and did you help Oshkosh Truck get that huge Department of Defense contract?
We've worked with Oshkosh Truck for a long time. The final terms of that are still in negotiation. But
do you think Weedick is a reason that Oshkosh Truck will get that huge contract?
Not the reason, no. Oshkosh Truck builds great trucks. They have a great workforce. That's why we were competing with Arkansas, especially. And Arkansas legislature put $80 million aside in bonds to attract that company to Arkansas. Oshkosh has already got the bricks and mortar, the equipment, the staff there, and a history of building great trucks for the Army.
Just two final questions because we're almost out of time. Representative Barkin and Senator Lassa have offered the plan that would repeal and replace Weedick with, number one, a Department of Economic Opportunity, two, a private Badger Innovation Corporation that would conduct trade missions, marketing, fundraising. Do you see any merit in the restructuring put forth by Representative Barkin and Senator Lassa?
I think the merit is in keeping the organization together. There's efficiencies in having one finance team, one credit team, one legal team. And international is a critical component of our operation. Look at just this year, the missions that we've been on, and I think the contracts, investments that will come to Wisconsin from Japan and Taiwan as a result of our recent trip there. I think splitting it out may work, but I used to be on the Ford Wisconsin board, mm-hmm. and that was primarily a fundraising board. And then if you don't have one state agency, then the various competing regions around the state are competing for the same business. It's best if you have one state agency speaking for the state of Wisconsin on an economic development standpoint.
And then finally, what advice have you given Mark Hogan, who will assume the CEO job of Weedick? And especially, he's chairman of the WEDA board. Do
right.
you still see value in the proposed merger of WEDA and WEDC, sir?
I think that is not going to happen. There would have been some efficiencies in that, and we deal a lot with the housing and economic development. My position sits on the board of housing and economic development, so I've known Mark for some time in that role. I don't see any advantage of the merger at this time, and I don't see that being revisited at this time. My advice to Mark is carry on the good programs, and Mark and I have talked about that quality assurance team that needs to be together so there's zero defects post-closing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it right away. You can't do it 6 months down the road. You got to do it right away.
Because of the management changes then that you have overseen as a result of some troubled loans, then you're quite convinced Weedick is much better off than when you took it over 3 years ago.
No question. We've got a good sound staff, good underwriters, got a banking system involved, much more transparent than what commerce ever was or the early days of WDC. So I think we're in a good position, and I'm pleased to be leaving the organization, the great staff, and I'm proud of the people we've been able to recruit and retain. And I know Mark will do a great job as the new CEO secretary.
Despite the scars and criticism at a high level, would you have taken the job again?
As Mel told me, And I have known for a long time.
The higher you go?
The higher on the flagpole you get, the more your butt's exposed. I would have taken the job anyway, absolutely. It's a great opportunity to do public service for the state of Wisconsin. We have truly helped move Wisconsin forward, and I can always be proud of that.
Reid Hall, who on Friday leaves as CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, thank you for the final half of our bookend interviews as you began and now as you leave.
It's been a pleasure, not only this interview, but watching Wisconsin Eye during these 3 years and before. So look forward to the future.
Thank you, Mr. Hall.
All right, you have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah.